Well, thank you, guys. They're missing Becky. They did a great job, but she's home with two sick kids. So it's the way it goes in this world this time of year. Sickness here, sickness there, but you're not sick, I don't think. If anybody's got the coronavirus, please leave. we're just glad to see all of you and welcome any guests who are among us, and there are always some. Now, today, surprise Justin here on the front row. He saw that we were in the book of Revelation, which means he wasn't here last Sunday. No, I'm just kidding. We had a series on Revelation about 3 years ago, 4 years ago now. And so it was not surprising. You'd wonder, well, why would we be back in Revelation chapter 2? For any of you who are behind the curve, this month is our missions emphasis month. We're into the third Sunday of that. And our theme is loving Jesus. Last year, it was trusting Jesus. So I have four messages that all rotate around that theme. Today, there is a passage in Revelation chapter 2 that very much deals with that theme. I want to read the passage to you, but I want to say if you want to get the fuller version of my exposition of this passage, then go to my archives on the final word and look it up. This day, we have to have a more truncated version. To the angel or the messenger of the church in Ephesus, I take that to be the pastor, but won't explain why. The one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, that's the churches, he says this, I know your deeds, God does, the Lord, and your toil and your perseverance. I know that you do not endure evil men. Now this church is really sounding great. I know that you put to the test those who call themselves apostles falsely. We've got those around today. And they are not apostles. And you found them to be false. I love it that you've exposed them. And you have perseverance. Wow, that's good. And have endured for my name's sake. That's good. And you've not grown weary. Where is this church? I want to go to it. But, the Lord says, the one who knows all their deeds and sees them from inside out, I have this against you, not everything, but this is pretty significant. You have left your first love. This passage convicts me. I probably should convict us all. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the deeds that you did at first. Do the deeds that you did at first. What did we say at the very beginning of this? How do I know that I love God? 1 John chapter 5, first several verses. How do I know that I love God? By doing what the Lord tells me to do. How do I know as a pastor and as a fellow believer that I love you? Is it by running up and hugging you, kissing you, and doing all that slobbery stuff? I don't mean that's irrelevant, but is that fundamental? How do we know? By doing what the Lord told us to do. That's the bottom line in defining Christian love. Repent and do the deeds that you did at first. Apparently there's something missing. Or else I'm coming to you and I will remove your lampstand. They're going to lose their light. They're not going to be a light source. Or they're going to lose their place or both. Unless you repent. Yet, this one thing you do have, and I'm proud of you for this, You hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Well, that's a longer story, but this was an immoral group, which I also hate. So he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. We'll not get there. Go to my website. Now I'm going to start this message differently than I have here. It's elsewhere in that for any you guys up there know I'm doing this. We just passed Valentine's Day, so this is a pretty timely illustration. Marital illustration will fit here. In fact, this illustration may get pretty close to the quick for some of you in marital relationships, and there may be some ribs getting punched and things like this. We get married because we're in love. I mean, I'm assuming it wasn't a shotgun wedding or something like that. But we get married because we were deeply in love. And we had no doubt about that. And the marriage continues. And basically you feel good about it. I mean, John Doe, he's the husband. I'm the counselor. Does John provide for you? Yes. Does John protect you? Yes. Is John a good father to your kids? Well, yes. Does John help you? Yes. Does John sleep with you? Yes. Everything going all right there? Well, I guess. So what's your trouble? Do you know how many women, I said this actually, this is a conversation I had with a lady in this church years ago. Do you know how many women out there are looking for a man who fits that description? That's not really clicking. Something's still wrong. And I say, I'm playing the counselor now. Well, honey, what is the problem with John? Well, it's not any of those things, Pastor. He does, if I can put it this way, in a kind of dutiful way, all the things that I think a husband ought to do. If you're a husband, you can flip it to a wife, the illustration. He does those things. He's there. It's not like he's abandoned us or anything like that. But I guess if I could just take my finger and put it on it, Pastor, something's missing. Well, what is it? Well, honey, do you feel that he still loves you? Yeah. Well, what's the deal? All right, Pastor, I'll get right to it. He doesn't love me like he used to, or at least I don't feel it. I don't feel the fire. I don't feel the passion. I just feel that, you know, he kind of loves the family and he does all that and loves a family culture, but I don't feel what I felt the day we got married. And before that, there's something missing there. Now, many of you can relate to that, because I asked him for it. No, I didn't. Many of you can relate to that. And you're 25 years down the road, maybe 5 years, And sometimes, unfortunately, that'll kind of trigger a wandering eye. That's not good. Sometimes, admittedly, expectations are too high, unrealistic. But that's not the case with the Lord. I want to bring that over to us individually and to a church family. That situation that the wife or the husband, we can flip it around, may express, that can be very real, and that happens. He's not about to walk out of that marriage, not about to. But he's dutiful, he's perfunctory. It's like in my home, I do a lot, and I do. Don't I, babe? she got to say yes, because he's a... But I do a lot. I get up in the morning, I make the beds, I fix her breakfast, and I wash the dishes most of the time, and all that stuff and other stuff, and a lot of stuff. But I can get in a pattern where I just do it. And it's not really related, can be, to any... I'm doing this because I love her. And that can be felt in a marriage. And the Lord can feel the same thing in our relationship to him. And that's what we want to talk about. You say, how? And I'll get to that. But there's an analogy to start us out with. And we don't want to get there. But if we're not really careful in a marriage or in our relationship to the Lord could say to us, not that you don't love me, but he can say to us, you're not where you used to be in that regard. You've dropped off your first love. And that's where we've got to examine ourselves, and we'll talk about that. Well, in this passage, just to review what we read, the Lord says, I know your deeds. He always knows. He knows everything that we think, everything that we do. And I'm liking a lot of what I see. I see your toil. I see your perseverance, verse 2. That's important. There are people. I just heard of somebody the other day. They said their daughter had left the faith. It was a Christian family. Their daughter had left the faith because about 3 years in, she lost her husband. And she was mad at God because of that. Well, as I've taught you, and as most of you know, who've been veteran Christians any length of time, we're going to have heavenly days, and then we will have hellish days. We will experience in our walk with the Lord very good things. Oh, thank you, Lord. And then we will experience those days and those times. Lord, what is happening? Perseverance means endurance. And you take the good with the bad, and you say like Job, I came into this world naked, and if God wants to send me out naked, that's up to God. He doesn't owe me anything, and I'll walk through thick and thin by faith, trusting him even though I don't understand. Okay, that's perseverance. Perseverance when they want to stick you up against a wall and shoot you for Christ. Perseverance is when you start being reviled and mocked at the office. When you start being passed over for promotions and you know why. That's perseverance. I know your perseverance. That's good. The Lord commends that. And also know you cannot endure evil men. And we should be like them. we should always hate what God hates. We run from that word, oh, we love. No, 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 no. Listen to this. And I'll run ahead a couple of pages here. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. 1 Corinthians 13:6. The fear of the Lord, reverence for the Lord, is to hate evil. Not hate the sinner, but hate the sin. Pride, arrogance, and every evil way, and the perverted mouth, I hate, you should too. You're God's children. Burning indignation has seized me because of the wicked who forsake thy law. David, Psalm 119:53. Oh yeah, this church hated what God hated. We should too. There are things to embrace and love, and there are things to despise. And we should despise those things. We should despise immorality. We should despise infanticide and abortion. Loathe it. Abhor it. We should not despise the atheist, but despise atheism. And all that kind of thing. Yeah, there are things to loathe and despise. This church did that. And the Lord was proud of them for that. But what's not to like about this church? Well, he says, I have, verse 4, this against you, that you have left your first love. Once your love was really up here. But now it's big, and now it's starting to show in some of your deeds. Doing my commands. You've gotten lax about that. Starting to show up in lesser affection for, and those two will run together. That is a problem. Now, he doesn't specify in this case what those were. But we can talk about it, and we can figure that out, not in their case, but in our case. We want to love Jesus, and we want to love him with fervor and intensity. It shows up first in what we do or don't do. Let me tell you something I've noticed. I'm a pastor. I notice these things. You may too, but I do. Personally, and other pastors would. And you multiply this in church life. And one person gets into this mode that I'm about to talk about. And others will too. And then it becomes a church-wide thing, which it had here in Ephesus. Here was a church that was pretty good. You say, what's not to like about it? The Lord says, this is what I don't like about it. They've left their first love. Well, what shape could that take? Well, in the book of Hebrews, we read in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, speaking to these young Jewish Christians, they'd gotten into a bad habit concerning their spiritual disciplines. Do not neglect the assembling of yourselves together, as the habit of some is. But as you see the day of the Lord approaching, amp it up. Well, I noticed this a lot over my long, long years in the ministry. Not all of it in pastoral ministry, but I've still noticed it. I see people and they come to Christ. Man, they're excited. They're enthused. They're on it and they're into it. The earnestness, the passion. Sometimes you almost seem like you've got to bridle them because they want to do everything and they want to do too much. And you realize they're just going to burn out. Well, we move along. 3 years, 4 years. A little distraction enters their life. Gee, it could be anything. It could be sickness. Often with younger couples who always have their eye on the prize, it's they want more money. It's not that they don't have enough. They want more because they want more for their family. In some cases, this can be justified. But here's what I've seen. All of a sudden, those first works and that heated love, they begin to drop off. I've seen it in our church many times. They're not as invested. They're not as eager. They're distracted. They're not as, to use that old cliche, they're not as on fire for the things of the Lord. Used to be you could ask them to do anything and they would do it and more. These days you kind of have to get down on your knees and beg them, because they've got other things on their plate and their agenda. Now, as I say, some of those things can't be helped. But sometimes they have. And it comes down to a question, who do you love the most? Do you love that job the most? Or do you still love the Lord the most? It can go in a lot of directions. But we, to draw that analogy again, Aussie and I, by the way, are not much for rituals. I'm not condemning them. Please don't. People have their own ways. But we just aren't much for that. And so this is not a ritual. Excuse me, hon. I don't want to embarrass you. But we're not much for lovey-dovey, huggy, you know, out in public and that kind of stuff. We do that in other places. But a lot of times, I'm not condemning it, understand. I'm just illustrating. And every morning, here's the way it is. Okay, hon, see you. And off we go. That meant something 6 days after they were married. It may have meant something 6 months. But now we're 6 years down, and that is what? Pretty much an empty ritual. My grandson Alex is pastoring down at Roseburg. He will say to Faith, every time, love you, babe. And he does. But the other day, our little two-year-old grandson kissed his mother and said, love you, babe. It's not wrong. It's not wrong. It's not anything to be condemned. But what I'm saying is these signs and signals of our first love, that intense love, they kind of degrade into just rituals. You understand what I mean? They kind of lose their force and their passion. And that's why I don't like rituals much. That's why I don't like doing communion, you know, every Sunday. There are churches like the Plymouth Brethren to do it. It just kind of loses its force. So I think we have to, and I have to, as your pastor, examine myself, because everything can get to be kind of routine. And we can get so distracted in our Christian life that what we love, and what do we love? What is it that we really love? Well, we can get to the point where we love our church creeds and we love our church doctrines and we're going to defend, and we love those. We love our church culture and we love our church family. But who's getting lost in the mix? Our love for Jesus. Well, it's not that we don't. It's just that we kind of lose sight of that. And just like a wife wouldn't be or a husband wouldn't be when he notices that in a marriage, so the Lord is not pleased with that when we just become lovers of our church culture. We become churchy. Instead of being Christian. Christians. We're about Christ. And I do too. We've got to call ourselves back to what we're about. And what are we about? Not loving Lake. Not loving, love our family, but not, I tell you when you know you're wrong, when you know you're dead wrong, when things start to go wrong here and we're not believing the right things and doing the right things and you stay. There are many people who wouldn't leave a church no matter what. You could put Donald Duck up here in the pulpit and he could go quack, 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 quack every Sunday and they'd be just as happy. They don't love Jesus. They're just quackers. And I see that all the time in churches and I say, why are those people still there? Look what's being taught. Look what's, they're there because they love their church culture. They're there because they love their church family. They're there because their friends are there. It doesn't matter to them that the Holy Spirit is not there. It doesn't matter to them that Jesus is not there. He has left them. They have lost their lampstand. They've lost their candlestick. Doesn't matter. Do you see what I'm getting at? There's a certain vagueness to what I'm saying because you can't just pin it down to this or that. But we all know when we examine ourselves that, you know, take me, your pastor. I can just get in love with the idea of being a pastor. I mean, I've done it since I was born. I mean, and I am in love with the idea. I love what God called me to do. But you can just get invested in it, you know, in such a way that it's the thing. It's not him. It can happen to pastors as well as it happens to people. Okay, how do we kick that habit? Let's talk about Monday morning. We can see how we get there. It's a tendency just to go to the lowest common denominator, just like it is in marriage. And we don't keep the pools of our love refreshed. Well, ask yourself, what does he say? I turned my pastor. What does he say to him to do? I'll get to Revelation here in a minute, and we'll have a revelation. One second to get back to it. Want to get the exact words here? You can take a nap. I'll get there. He says, I'm going to come to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. God did that. You know, all those churches of Asia Minor, they're not there any longer. I've been to Ephesus. Ossie loved it, in fact, the ruins. There's no church there. You know who owns the land and everything? The Muslims. It's not there anymore. Well, churches can be retired, and they often are, or oftentimes the buildings are there and people still walk in, but the light's gone. The light's gone. It's no longer a light source. So he says, unless you repent. What we need to do is look at ourselves and say, is any of that happening to me? Am I where I used to be in terms of love for Christ, devotion, passion? Am I still there? If not, repent. Lord, just like a husband, he might say to his wife, honey, I know what you mean. I've been thinking about it. I do love you, dear. I want you to know that. But I can see how in the rumble and tumble of married life and all the distractions that happen and problems. I can see how that crush of affection may have dimmed a little. Some of the fights we've had, things like that, I can see where you're coming from. And so sometimes we might need to say to the Lord, I can see how I kind of fell in love with church culture. Kind of in my need of family, I kind of fell in love with it. And that's not a bad thing. But somehow in the midst, I forgot you and what it's all about. It's loving you. And everything else will flow rightly from that. So, Lord, I want to come to you, and this is what I'm suggesting, what I'm doing. I want to come to you, and I want to repent. I don't want you, Lord, to be disappointed in my love for you. I want to do the things that I did. And here's where we start. We remember. We go back and we say, yeah, I remember. I didn't realize it. I remember my devotion. I remember all those acts of aggressiveness in loving you and in showing you my love. I remember how some of those kind of fallen off and gone by the wayside. Remember. Consider. And then recover, reset. I'm going back. What's that song we sing around here? I can never remember the words to songs. But I'm going back. And I'm going to go back to those. That's what Ossie and I did when we fell in love. Well, sometimes before we can go forward, the best step is to what? Go backward. Go backward. Go back and look where we came from, where we began to fall off this thing. And I've got one for Ossie. I'll get her. Because I have the platform. I can do it. She told me she did not understand. She did not understand this before we were married. Why people, when they were married a few years, he sat over here in a car and they sat over there. And she was never going to sit over there in the car. She was going to sit right over here practically in my lap. She swore that to me. Going to sit right beside me. We weren't married 6 days until she was over again. I tease her about that all the time. Then they came along and put these consoles in cars and gave her a good excuse, you know, not to be over there. But you get it. It's a little humor, but you get the idea. So we need to go back. We need to go back and just look at those things. That's why some of you have date nights, right? I mean, frankly, they're a little silly to me. But I'm 185. And some of those things seem weird, you know, to call. But that's why some of you decide you get a sitter for the kids. And you say, that's what we did when we were just raging in love, right? So we're going to still do that and go back and do those things that we did. Well, look at your spiritual disciplines. Go back. When you came to Christ, a lot of you at least could say this, you could not get enough of God's word. When did that stop? When you came to Christ, they couldn't get the church doors open fast enough for you. You were there. When you came to Christ, if there was something to do to honor and serve Christ, you wanted to do it. When did that stop and why did it stop? Go back and do what you did before, and for the same reasons that you did them before. Regenerate it. If I do it, you do it, she does it, He does it. They do it. It's like a virus, a good virus. If there is such a thing, I don't know. It catches. And it brings new light and new life to a church. But in time, if the negative thing goes on, well, then we become real churchy. And when a church becomes real churchy, it's on its way out. Its life and light is on its way out. So we want to be a church that loves Jesus and loves him intensely. A lot of the things we do are wonderful. I love our church. But we're far from perfect, including your pastor. Far from perfect. And we can do better. We need to call ourselves up higher. But mainly we need to do, starting this, we need to do what we do for the right reason. Did you hear that? That's not profound, but it's something that needs to be emphasized. I need to do what I do for the right reason. Do you serve here in the church? Do what you do for the right reason. If you're just doing it to help the church, that doesn't quite make it. Do it for Christ. Refuse to do anything just dutifully because you feel it's a duty. If you're an usher, security person, or whatever out here, don't just come to church and do it in a churchy way. Do you realize, for example, do it for Christ. Do you realize, as I do, I've learned, when people, worship doesn't begin in here. That's why I'm not in here. It starts out there. And there are people who walk in these doors and they come in with fear and trembling sometimes because they don't know what to expect. They don't know the Lord, or they're so far away from the Lord. They've got all these images. If you're there with a warm greeting, if you're there with a loving mien, you send them into this service with a totally different attitude. And in that way, you're serving Christ. When you care for these children and you care for them in a loving way, listen, let me tell you something. And let me tell you something about that. Some of these little kids that we serve, Awana, VBS, all this other kind of stuff, so you can just say, oh, yeah, I'll volunteer, I'll do it. Oh, thank God my time is up. Do you realize that you're making impressions on those kids? They're not going to find in a public school. They're not going to find it anywhere. They're going to meet a spirit that is different. And some of these kids go back to non-Christian homes, and some of them, when they're 30 years old and they want to come in out of the cold, they've been out there in sin, they remember that teacher. They remember that church. They remember that environment, and that the Spirit of God will use to call them to Christ. Because there was one person serving who loved Christ. They'll remember that. They don't even know what it is, but they've just got good vibes when the rest of the world has bad vibes. But do it for Christ. Our girls both remember some of the teachers they had at our church in Denver. Those teachers created really good vibes. They didn't seed them with deep theology, but they loved Christ. That made a huge difference and complemented whatever they were getting in the home. And some of you, you get in these ministries and you work so hard. I've seen some of it. But whatever you do, your pastor, you do it for Christ's sake. What we do is good. We can love our doctrine. But you've got people sometimes, I'm about to go on here on a riff. But we've got people, yeah, I've seen it all my life. And they are Baptist. Oh, I'd like to bury them. Baptist. I mean, we are technically a Baptist church, so you understand. We're not Baptist. We're Christians. We're Christ ones. And we do it for Christ. We're not about a denomination. And we love the Bible and we love biblical theology. But we love it because Christ revealed it and he gave it. That's why we do it. Okay? Think about these things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I feel I must confess, probably most of us feel that we need to confess, that we sometimes just get churchy. There are a lot of things that we do right and things that you would approve. But sometimes we're not doing them for the right reasons. And sometimes they're just things that we ought to do for you that we've just stopped doing. We've relaxed doing. We've gotten casual about doing. And we're not seriously expressing our love to you in the way that we ought to. We pray that you would give us good and godly hearts and refresh our spirits in the love of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.